You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
The U.S. Presidential Commission on Cybersecurity released its long-anticipated report late Friday. Russia's FSB says today's the day foreign intelligence services are going to try to disrupt the Russian financial system. Ransomware author PornPoker gets collared. Distributed guessing attacks might have been made against Tesco. Gooligan's business model is mostly advertising and garbage apps. And Tenable's Global Cybersecurity Assurance Report Card tells the globe it's got room for improvement. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, December 5th, 2016. The U.S. Presidential Commission on Cybersecurity reported Friday. The long-expected report offers 6 imperatives, yielding 16 recommendations and 53 action items. The recommendations and action items will, perforce, be left to the incoming administration. The report strongly emphasizes resilience. Its 6 imperatives, which the commissioners take to be essential to U.S. security and prosperity in cyberspace, include, first, protect, defend, and secure today's information infrastructure and digital networks. The recommendations associated with this imperative stress the importance of public-private collaboration, especially with respect to securing cyber-physical infrastructure, improving identity management, and building on the success of the NIST cybersecurity framework. Second, innovate and accelerate investment for the security and growth of digital networks and the digital economy. Here, the emphasis is on securing the Internet of Things and on research and development of usable, affordable, inherently secure, defensible, and resilient, recoverable systems. The third imperative, prepare consumers to thrive in a digital age, calls upon IT and communication industry leaders to work with both consumer organizations and the Federal Trade Commission to help consumers make informed decisions about buying and using connected devices and services. There's also an emphasis on research into understanding how humans interact with connected systems. Fourth, and this one will be especially familiar, build cybersecurity workforce capabilities. Here, the commissioners recommend moving on both labor and technology. They also urge the federal government to accelerate its technology refresh cycle, to move from requirements management to enterprise risk management, and to improve engagement with the executive office of the president. The fifth imperative is the inside baseball one. better equip government to function effectively and securely in the digital age. This calls for clarity in agency cyber roles and missions. Finally, ensure an open, fair, competitive, and secure global digital economy. This enjoins the incoming administration to engage the international community to develop cybersecurity law and global norms of behavior. The CyberWire received reactions to the report from Ray Rothrock, CEO of cybersecurity analytics shop Red Seal, who not surprisingly liked the emphasis on resilience. Quote, "Resilience looks inside the network at the various components and connections. That's where the bad guys are, lurking and probing for vulnerabilities." End quote. He thinks that where the attackers enjoys an advantage, as seems to be the case in cyberspace, resilience has to be seen as the responsibility of any organization's highest levels. Rothrock would carry this relatively far, elevating it to a board-level responsibility. Elsewhere in the world, Russia's FSB claimed Friday that it had foiled a plot by foreign special services to disrupt Russia's financial sector with a mix of hacking and disinformation aimed at fueling speculative panic. D-Day for the operation was supposed to have been today, but as far as we can tell, it hasn't yet materialized. Russia's FSB, the successor to the Cold War's KGB, has apparently been given the lead in defending the banks. They're coordinating defenses with various financial stakeholders. The Russian government says the operation was to have been launched through the Ukrainian ISP Blazing Fast servers in the Netherlands. Blazing Fast says, in effect, you got me, it hasn't seen any signs of an attack being staged through its systems. Blazing Fast does add that it wants everyone to know it's happy to cooperate with any legitimate law enforcement authority, but that it doubts the FSB really needs any help. Russia hasn't said which foreign special services, as they call them, are prepping the attack, but it's pretty clear they're scowling in America's direction, and especially in the direction of that Kremlin bête noire, Vice President Biden, who said the U.S. would take action at a time of its own choosing against attempted Russian interference with U.S. elections, the U.S. intelligence community said it discerned. That such concerns aren't entirely idle may have been demonstrated Friday, when the Russian Central Bank reported that cyber criminals got away with 2 billion rubles, about $31 million, in attacks on corresponding accounts. The bank thinks the crooks may have been after up to 5 billion rubles. The CyberWire heard this afternoon from security firm Plixer's Director of IT and Services, Thomas Poor, who noted social media and SMS mass messaging that coincided with the theft. Quote, SMS messages have a 98% open rate, with 90% being read within 3 seconds. That type of inbound attention already attracts digital marketers, so it's not surprising that someone would want to market chaos as well. End quote. But we must note that cybercrime and market manipulation aren't the exclusive or even typical province of hostile intelligence services. We also heard from Group IB, who point out that some stories on the bank fraud were misleading. The total given was a total for attacks over the course of 2016, not a single crime spree. And Group IB would know. They're over there in Moscow. They think some of the English-language news services may have been misled by a translation error. Russian authorities did secure a win over the weekend. They arrested malware author Porn Poker. No other name was given for the gentleman. Mr. Poker was attempting to re-enter Russia from his Thailand hideout. The police were waiting for him at Domodedovo Airport. Elsewhere in the world of what's clearly unambiguously cybercrime, British researchers demonstrate a distributed guessing method that could enable criminals to determine security details on Visa cards, expiration date, and 3-digit security code. Observers speculate the technique might have been used in the Tesco bank attacks. And Gooligan, the rapidly spreading Android malware strain reported last week, apparently uses a business model that generates revenue from ads and garbage apps. And finally, cybersecurity company Tenable this morning released its annual Global Cybersecurity Assurance Report Card. We'll get insights from Tenable's Chris Thomas on tomorrow's show, but in the meantime, the commentary in the report warns of the risk of emerging technologies and the overwhelming threat environment, by which it means the relative advantage attackers enjoy over defenders. Since they're publishing a report card, Tenable naturally offers grades, and unfortunately, no one's making the dean's list. The GPA for the countries surveyed comes in at a 1.6. India scores highest with a solid B. Japan gets an F. The United States, a gentlemanly C+. The average is even worse when they look across seven sectors, just 1.6. Retail leads with a C. Financial services, manufacturing, and telecommunications get a C-. Healthcare, education, and government pull in, alas, an unsurprising D. So, since we're all being advised to avoid the FUD and look on the sunny side, the grades are good news, we guess. Maybe if you're Bart Simpson. Ms. Krabappel, call your office.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Marcus Roschecker. He's the Cybersecurity Program Manager at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Marcus, we've been seeing these huge botnet attacks, and they've been making the use of ordinary devices, DVRs, cameras, and things like that. There's an interesting question that comes up with all of this is, who's responsible when, if my DVR or my camera is part of an attack, do I have any responsibility for that?
That's a good question, and it's a question that we're unfortunately asking more and more these days. We have seen massive denial of service attacks recently. So the question is, who's ultimately responsible for these kinds of attacks? Well, I would say first and foremost, of course, the hackers who are actually doing the attack, but it's oftentimes very difficult to get at those hackers. They might be located abroad. It might be hard to actually attribute the attack to any particular person or organizations. So the next question is, what else can be done to protect from these kinds of attacks? And do consumers or the manufacturers of devices that are being used in these kinds of attacks, do they share some sort of responsibility in all of this? And I think there's really two ways of looking at this. I think on the one hand, manufacturers do have some degree of responsibility to make sure that the devices that they're selling have security measures put in place into the devices. Security should be built in into these devices. Unfortunately, more often than not, security is an afterthought when it comes to building these devices or developing these devices. And manufacturers don't really have an incentive to really put into these devices any kind of security measures or very robust security measures. And then consumers who are buying these devices, they really don't really have an full understanding of what the risks are, or at least for the most part, generally speaking, don't have the understanding of what kind of risk an Internet of Things device could pose to the larger networks around them. I think it's a little bit unfair, perhaps, to ask a regular consumer to institute security measures for the devices that they're purchasing and that they're using at home. But I think you could have more of an educational campaign for consumers so that they would know a little more about the risks that are associated with Internet of Things devices, and to tell consumers a little bit about what they could be doing to ensure greater security for those devices.
Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.